That was spectacular. You're a professional. Good job, Hope. Very good. I was going to say at this time I'd like to invite Phil, one of our elders, to come up for announcements, but he's already here.
Here we are. Welcome, Christ Point. Merry Christmas. All right, just the front row. How about everyone else? Merry Christmas. All right, so we want to welcome you guys. There are connection cards, not on the seats, but in the back. So if you're new to us and we haven't met you, we'd love to meet you guys. This upcoming week, we have Christmas Eve. And so we're going to do Christmas Eve at the barn. And so it starts at 4:30 outside. Invite your friends, invite family. It's an easy way to invite people. And then we'll come inside at 5:30 for a service. Just a reminder, this next Sunday, there's no service on the 26th, but the following week is food pantry. And so on the 2nd of January, go to the store, bring some stuff. We'll collect food for the food pantry. Last but not least, students, middle school and high school, we got a calendar of events for Q1. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. Mark your calendar starting the 9th, we're going to be meeting every Sunday night from 6 to 8 here in the barn. We have a great time. But sign up for ice skating the day before. On the 8th, we're going to go ice skating. You'll see me fall. I don't ice skate. I'm not from Canada like Troy, so I don't know how to ice skate. But I'll try. But then that next night on the 9th, we have vision night, not only for parents and kids, but the whole family. So everyone can come. We're going to be at the barn. We're going to talk about where we've been, where we are, where we're going from a student ministry standpoint. So, a lot of good stuff. So, before we interview Billy, I want to invite Jody and the crew up. She's got a cool announcement to make. So let me give you.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you. Oh, I got my own mic. Yay! Hi, everyone. Nobody told me to do this. They did. I knew that I was doing this, but then they were like, "What are you doing?" But we're doing it. So today is our tacky Christmas contest, and I know. I feel like a lot of you do not look jolly out there, and it's sad to me. However, there are some really fantastic participants. And so we have some awards. Anna and Amelia have been checking out the costumes as they come in to the point where we were just coming up, and I was like, oh, I just saw one, and we got to change our votes here. So when I call you up, you have to come up to share your jolliness, and some prizes are just for your family because we couldn't just choose some. So we have the Mervins. Mervins, come on up. Show off your jolly costumes. Woo! Doug and Jennifer, I mean, this is amazing. You guys got to come on up. I don't know. They didn't come up. They weren't as excited as you. The Lejeunes and the Peets. You're dressed as a nutcracker, Jason. It's fantastic. We have a nutcracker here today. It's worth making a spectacle. Andy and Anna, they're twins, and it's great. Lydia and Clara, and Dara and Connor, can you all come up to share your jolly costumes? Yay! Wait, Jason, I really need you to come closer. Yes! Like, you have to be seen. And Jill! Yes, so Jill and I are twins. We just needed people to see that you're a nutcracker. It's fantastic. Once again, nobody approved that I just did this, but it's great! Can we give them all a hand? Yay! Anna and Amelia, we'll meet you guys over there off to the side so we can cancel our shenanigans. But Anna and Amelia have a prize, one per family, so you guys can meet her over there, and we'll give you your prizes. Great job, you guys. Nothing fills my heart with more joy than this. Great. And next year, this is your competition, you guys. Step it up. All right, Mr. Phil, you come back now.
And sneaking back
children,
up.
Children, kindergarten through fifth grade, you are welcome to dismiss to the back.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's hard to be scared.
Yep. All right. That was fun, wasn't it? That was awesome. So while they're making their way back, one of the things we do at Christ Point, we exist to point people to Jesus. And we do that four different ways. So the first is encountering the life-transforming power of the Word of God. The second is establishing a culture of joyful service. We also want our body to experience authentic community. And today we're going to do the fourth. We're going to talk about engaging all people. And so I'd like to invite Billy Gwaltney, if he can find his way up here. William? Billy? That's all right. You notice Billy and I sort of dressed up for the occasion. We missed the memo.
Yes, we did. We did miss it.
So we're going to talk a little bit about engaging all people, Bill. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know you, Bill, tell us a little about who you are and your family.
Thanks. I'm Billy Gwaltney. I'm one of the elders here at Christ Point. And I'm married to Anne Marie for like 21-ish years. Is that 21, over 21 years? Have a daughter, Ava, a son who's at NC State, a son, Gavin, who is junior in high school. And my parents are here. They will confirm that I was an excellent child. So if you ever need verification, they will tell you.
We will verify
they
that
won't
later.
No, don't verify that. Please don't verify.
There are some stories there. So we talk about engaging all people. So tell us a little bit about sort of how you do that and why you do that.
Good question. I've wondered how I would answer this. I think the why is over a decade or so ago, it became clear to me that I was actually saved. And that God had control of my life. And so I made, I kind of offered him a deal. And I said, hey, I'll do whatever you want me to do if you allow me to enjoy it. I said, that's my only requirement. I don't want to do it if I hate it because I just won't do it long. Whether it's a diet, a workout, it doesn't matter. I mean, eventually, if I'm not having fun, I'm going to stop. And it's interesting how he kind of took me up on that and kind of changed my heart from the inside out. I used to not think a thing about missions or engaging all people. I wasn't worried about anything related to that. And over time, relatively quick, I became interested in it, not because all of a sudden something changed externally, not because of an event that happened or what have you, but because he changed my heart. And we do that as that passion has grown out in terms of going on mission trips and engaging people that don't know anything about Jesus. My kind of sweet spot, the part I really enjoy, are people that have never heard of Jesus, or if they have heard of Jesus, they don't think much about it at all. Places where the gospel is not welcome. And so that has been a real passion of mine. And as a church, in my role as an elder and over the Go team, we have become very serious about our mission efforts, our engaging all people, being strategic with that, being intentional about that, going deep with people that and organizations like 1-7, like CIN, like Uncharted, and others that Young Life, others that we partner with. Who are pointing people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is the first requirement. Whatever they do, it's done to ultimately point people to Jesus. And we want to be intentional and strategic and go deep. And we want to make that easy for everyone at Christ Point to be able to plug in and do that and come mm-hmm. alongside so that you know whether we're doing something with OCC or whatever we're doing, you can feel assured that, hey, even if I show up and I'm not sure what all is happening, I know that ultimately their focus is pointing people to Jesus.
So that shift that you had, like, talk a little bit about how that change has impacted you and your family.
It's interesting. It's changed me a lot because it's made missions. I'm kind of a boring guy. I don't have many hobbies. And so missions has kind of become my hobby and is something that I enjoy doing. Now, obviously, with COVID and not being able to travel, things have changed. And Anne Marie's kind of looking for trips for me to take because it's been a while. And she's ready for me to go, I think. And so it's good for me to go. It's good for my heart. It's good for my soul to go. It's good to step outside. And I think the impact on our family has been that we have become a family that tends to move whether we are afraid to move or not. We tend to do things and not wait for kind of that that burning bush moment to tell us to do it. That God honors movement, and even if we're not sure, even if we're afraid that if we're prayerfully moving, He's going to change our direction along the way.
So thinking about like our body and those maybe online that may not be comfortable with maybe moving out of their comfort zone or engaging others, what kind of counsel would you have for them?
Good question. I am not special or unique at all. If you know anybody that knows me close,
right,
they would confirm that. And so I would just say two things, and they're really the same step: pray and move. Prayerfully move. I think it's wrong to move without praying. It's wrong to just kind of run down the mountain and not involve God until I'm in trouble or until we're in trouble or whatever. It's also wrong, I believe, to pray and sit still. That to just kind of wait for some mountaintop thing or something to happen to confirm. What I've sensed is that God, and it's true in Scripture, reading through some stuff in the Old Testament, where they're just moving. God says move, and the next step is revealed once you get there. I would just encourage you to do that. And I would encourage you to take a risk, because if you do it, you won't regret it. If you prayerfully move and in situations where the gospel is being spread, like we try to set up here at Christ Point, and we've been successful with that. I mean, see, 1-7, if you know some of these people, they're doing some serious work. I was at their party last night, their Christmas party, and their leader was talking, and I wrote myself a note when I got home, because he said something that was really challenging, and that is, we move into situations and we're not going to be afraid. Mm. We're going to go and we're going to risk everything, if that's what it takes, to rescue people. And I was just challenged by that. Do I have a risky ministry profile? Am I more concerned about preserving something here or spreading the gospel regardless of the cost? And I just think the more we pray about those things, the more God reveals and the more we love it. Mm. I mean, I've been around David a few times. James knows him. People at 1-7, this guy loves what he does.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want to be another place on the planet. And I want to be that person. The definition of happy is wherever I am, not wanting to be anywhere else.
Cool.
That's it, and I just love that.
So. Well, Billy, we praise God for...
Are you cutting me off?
I am cutting you off. We've gone over a little bit. But we praise God for how you move, how you lead.
Oh, thank you.
And just your heart for serving God and engaging all people. Let me pray
thank
for
you.
Us.
Yeah.
Jesus, we thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing on earth, God. Thank you that you've given everyone in the body gifts and talents. Father, I pray that we would humbly just pray and move. We would pray, but we would not be fearful of moving into any situation, whether it's our family, friends, neighbors. But God, give us eyes to see and courage to move. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for your son. In your name, amen.
Amen. Billy and Phil, thanks so much. That was really powerful. I want to come back to that later this morning. Sometimes things happen that you guys aren't privy to that you might not hear, and I want to share this. I think it was kind of funny. I'm going to chalk this up in things that I never thought I would find myself saying during our Christmas service. When Phil invited Billy to come up, and Billy, there was this awkward 7 to 10 second, like no call, no show from Billy, and I look over stage right, and Billy is talking to the Nutcracker. And I never thought I would say in our Christmas service, on our Christmas service, when Phil's like, Billy, Billy? And I'm like, oh, he's over there stage right talking to the Nutcracker. I mean, that was new. I didn't see that coming. You never know what the Lord might send your way. And so I'm excited this morning to see what God has in store for us. I know Phil just prayed, but I would like to do it again, not because his prayer wasn't sufficient, but because I need it. And so please pray with me. Take a moment this morning on this Christmas Sunday and you pray for you. You know you better than I know you, and so you know at least in part what you stand in need of this morning. And so ask God for it. I could be so bold, would you pray for me that my words would be helpful to you this morning as we seek Jesus together. God, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather as your people, not only on this particular Sunday, but each and every Sunday, to open your word and to hear from you. What a gift it is for us to be able to do so. It blows me away that you're the God of the universe and that you've spoken to us through your Son and by your Spirit, and you've given to us your living an active word that meets us right where we are today. I give you thanks for that this morning. I pray as we open up your word that your Spirit would encourage our hearts and that you would grant to us what we stand in need of today. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Well, it is Christmas week, and so you can imagine a number of folks from the church family have asked me, James, what would you like for Christmas? And when I say a number of folks have asked me what I would like for Christmas, what I mean by that is none of you have asked me what I want for Christmas. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity. I know you're busy. I'm just going to share my list with you, if that's okay. And so I'll give you a minute to pull out a pen or pencil, if you still use those things, or if you have an electronic device where you can take notes. It's not super long. You could probably remember it, but I'll give you a minute. So go ahead. Boys? Writing utensil? You want to write this down? What I would like for Christmas is joy. I want joy for Christmas. And I don't want any kind of joy. I don't want some hand-me-down, second-hand joy. I want the real deal. I don't want joy that dissipates, that diminishes, that fluctuates or fades or is fickle. I don't want joy that comes and goes. I don't want joy that rises and falls. I don't want joy that arrives in a flurry and is gone in a flash. I want steady, honest to goodness, all satisfying joy. Here's the thing. If I could be so bold, I think that you want it too. Don't you long for that kind of joy? Unceasing, unexplainable, all-satisfying, unending joy. Here is the good news of Christmas. That kind of joy can be yours and it can be mine. This morning, I want to remind us or tell us how to get it, how to chase after it. Actually, God does it for us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. You can follow along. The passage will be up on the screen, or if you use the YouVersion app, you can pull out your phones and follow along. The Apostle Paul, someone whose life had been radically changed by Jesus, wrote to the church at Rome, and as he's nearing the end of his letter, he says this prayer to God for them. And I think that we can pray this prayer for us as well. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. And I love that prayer. I want us to think about it together this morning. May the God of hope. I love how Paul describes the Lord in this passage. He could have said a lot of things about God that were true or accurate. He could have said the God of justice or the God of righteousness or the God of holiness. All of those things are true. But instead, Paul says, may the God of hope. Hope just isn't something that God possesses. It is something that He is. He is the God of hope. He is the source of hope. Hope for you and hope for me. I don't know if you've ever met someone before or seen someone before and they have something that you want. And you approach them, you go up to them, and you say, "Hey, where did you get those shoes? I love your shoes. I noticed your sweater. Where did you get it? Where did you pick it up?" Or sometimes I'll hear ladies say to each other, "I love your hair. Who does your hair?" They want to know, where is the source of this good thing that I see? A number of years ago, when we first started this church, Brian Goins, who was our lead pastor, we were new to the area, and oftentimes when I would come to the office, Brian would bring me a treat. The only problem was this particular treat was in a white, unmarked box. It was a cinnamon roll. I love cinnamon rolls. I haven't seen a cinnamon roll that I haven't liked. But this particular cinnamon roll quickly became one of my favorite cinnamon rolls. And so I naturally asked Brian, where did you get the cinnamon roll? And he laughed and he said, "Oh, James, I got it from this bakery shop just down the road." And I'm like, "But where is it?" And he laughed and he's like, "I don't want to tell you. I don't think it would be good for you." And I said, "Oh, that's so funny." And then he would do it again. Weeks later, I would show up at the office and there would be a white box, no logo, no stamp, no nothing. I would open it up, I would look under the lid, nothing. It wasn't marked. I said, "Brian, I love the cinnamon roll. Tell me, where did you get it?" And he would laugh and say, "Oh, James, this little bakery shop just down the road." I would laugh. "No, really, where did you get it?" And he wouldn't tell me. So I played his little game for months. Before finally I had enough, I walked into the office one day and there was the white box. I open up the white box and there's a cinnamon roll in there. And I walked up to Brian and I grabbed him by the collar and I stuck my finger in his chest and I said, "Who is your source?" And he said to me, "The bakery shop in Huntersville." I said, "What?" "Yeah," he goes, "yeah, the bakery shop." I go, "The place is called the bakery shop?" And he's like, "Yeah, the bakery shop. I've been telling you all along, you just haven't been listening." That's hilarious. We haven't spoken since. I wanted Brian to tell me the source of where he got the goodness. God is the source of your hope and mine. And Paul, when he prays, says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I read that and I think to myself, two questions. What is joy? And where do I get it? Because I want it. So what is joy? Well, one of the ways that we can find out what something is by understanding what it is not. And one of the things that joy is not is the same as happiness. Joy is not the same as happiness. Now, I think this is taught in Scripture. There are times when joy and happiness seem very interconnected and related, where you see people experiencing joy in Scripture and you're going, "Seems pretty happy to me." But there are times in the Bible when you read about two people in love and they're experiencing joy and you go, "Well, I can't think of anything more happy than two people in love." There's times when you read in Scripture about a wedding feast taking place, a wedding, and people are full of joy. And I think to myself, I can't think of a happier occasion than a wedding. There are times in the Psalms when the psalmist writes about a meal shared amongst friends with good wine. And I read it and I think, well, that seems happy to me. Isn't happiness the same thing as joy? But then there are other times in the Bible when I read about people experiencing joy. And it doesn't seem like they should. There are times in the Bible when people experience hardship or persecution or death or some really tragic scenarios and situations. And yet, Scripture talks about people experiencing joy. And so I don't think that joy is the same thing as happiness. I also don't think it's circumstantial. Oftentimes we think to ourselves, well, I experience joy when I experience good things in life. Right? When I experience happy things, I am joyful. But then I start reading crazy verses, like 2 Corinthians 7:4, when the Apostle Paul writes, I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. And I go, what? Or I read his words to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, when he writes, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And it makes me think, okay, wait a second. Something is happening here and something is going on here that is not normal. It is atypical. So I don't believe that joy is circumstantial. And I also don't believe that joy can be manufactured. A joy is not manufactured. What I mean by that is that we as a people cannot white-knuckle our way into experiencing joy. We can't. We can't simply have someone come alongside of us and say to us, well, just choose joy. Turn that frown upside down. When we don't feel it, when we don't experience it, it's very difficult for someone to come alongside of us and tell us to have it. Because there's times when we don't. So joy is not those things. If joy is not those things, what is biblical joy? Here's a working definition. Maybe you have a better one. I said biblical joy is an emotion that's been gifted by God, that's rooted in the work of God, that is experienced by faith in God. Biblical joy is an emotion gifted by God, rooted in the work of God, that is experienced by faith in God. I really do believe that joy is an emotion. Like, it's something that we feel. In the Bible, when people experienced joy, they were overcome with emotion. They worshiped. They responded in a particular way, which leads me to believe that joy is actually something that we feel in our hearts. It's not some stagnant, heady truth that we know here, but we don't feel here. When you experience joy, you experience it. Joy is an emotion, but where does it come from? Like, where does joy come from? Where do I experience it? How does it happen to me, if I can say that it happens to us? Well, Scripture says that it comes from lots of places. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not hereditary. It's not a personality bent. It's not the power of positive thinking. Paul says to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Like one of the outworkings of the Spirit of God in you and me is that we as a people would experience joy. Joy comes from belonging to the kingdom of God, being a son or daughter of the King. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. And the Holy Spirit. A joy comes from God changing us. And so when we experience hardship or tribulations in life, we don't necessarily enjoy what we're going through, but we know that God's doing a good work in the midst of it. And so we experience joy. Blessed are you, Jesus said, when men hate you. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you receive the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. Where does joy come from? Joy comes from God. Right? God gives it. This is what Paul prays. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Who's doing the filling? who's giving us joy and peace. God is. That's why Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. So I read that and I think to myself, that's great. That's a lovely prayer. I want to pray that for myself. I want to pray that for you. I know that joy comes from God, but how do I get it? How do I get it? Because I want to experience it. I think you want to experience it. Paul tells us, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And notice how Paul says God gives joy and peace. He fills his followers with joy and peace in believing, as we believe. That means that God doesn't send an Amazon truck with just a little package of joy on our front doorstep. We experience joy and peace when we believe. So I read that and I think to myself, okay, well, what do we believe? Because I want to experience joy. So what do we believe? Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, he says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to the Jews, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol Him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. What in the world is Paul saying we should believe? Well, Paul is saying that joy and peace comes when we believe that Jesus has come to earth as a servant. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came on a mission. And his mission was a rescue mission. Right? He came to save his people, his sons and his daughters. That, by the way, is what Christmas is all about. I thought about this as Phil was interviewing Billy, and we were highlighting one of the ways that we point people to Jesus is by engaging all people. I was thinking to myself, I wonder if people are wondering why on your Christmas service would you have Phil interview Billy about missions? Like, isn't there like a cool video you could show? Something lighthearted or fun? Like why would you do an interview about missions? And I thought to myself, because Christmas is about the greatest mission that was ever pursued. Right? God sent His Son Jesus on mission to save His sons and daughters. This is the beauty of Christmas. This is God's rescue story being displayed for the world to see. This is the beauty of the gospel. We were lost in our sin with no hope. We couldn't save ourselves. God is just. And so He couldn't ignore our sin or turn a blind eye to our sin. He had to deal with our sin. And the way that He dealt with our sin is by sending His perfect Son to come and to be born, to live a perfect life and to die a sinner's death, to be buried, but to be raised to life. It is through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that you and I can experience the life that we long for. Right? We are hardwired to chase after joy. And I don't care who you are a joy addict. You're a joy addict. If you have an opportunity to pursue it, you will. We are hardwired for it. So when you think about the decisions that you make on a daily basis, I can almost guarantee you that some of them, or many of them, if not all of them, are a pursuit of joy. Think about the things that you say no to or the things that you say yes to. Think about the decisions that you make in your life, where you go or where you don't go. More often than not, you and I are making those decisions because we are chasing after joy. And God has hardwired us that way. The only problem is that oftentimes we look for joy in all the wrong places. We look for joy in places where joy will never be found. Right? And so God in Christ calls us to experience a joy in Him. That's why the psalmist says, in your presence, God, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. I read passages like that, and I think to myself, that is what I want. That is what I long for. And apparently, what I want, God has. And what you want, I mean, at the core of your being, God has that for you. And so what is the result of this? What is the result of this? What is this, the result of God pouring joy and peace into our hearts? Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he says, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Christ's point, I hope you caught that. I hope you saw it. It's there again. I can't emphasize it enough. What you and I want, what we really want, God has. And what we really want, God gives. God is the giver of joy and peace and hope and love. We do not manufacture it. Right? We want it. We want those things. But you do not get those things in a career move. You don't experience those things by making your way to the next tax bracket. You don't experience any of those things with an early retirement. You don't get it with location or vocation or vacation. But there's one source. There's one source. God is the source, and He gives it. So Paul writes, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you might abound in hope. It is not socially acceptable to approach people that you do not know and have not met and give to them your Christmas list. I would not recommend you doing what I did at the beginning of this message. It's a little socially awkward if you were to do that. But I will tell you what is not awkward. And it is not awkward to go to the God of the universe and beg Him for what your heart longs for. That is a prayer that God delights in answering. And so I don't know about you, but if I were you and walking in your shoes, I would take time and pray and beg that God would give to you the joy that you long for. I believe that He will answer that prayer. And the reason that I believe He will answer that prayer is because all over the pages of His Word, He demonstrates how He is answering it. 2,000 years ago, Scripture says, an angel said to a group of people, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Christ's point, by the power of God and the Holy Spirit who is in you, may God grant to you hope and peace and love and joy this Christmas season. Would you pray with me? Father God, we give you thanks for the joy that is ours in Jesus. I know in saying that, it sounds perhaps overly simplistic or even a bit churchy. And yet I believe that it is true. What we long for at the core of our being, you offer to us. And so I pray that by your grace and in your kindness, you would extend it to us this morning. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Would you